All right, welcome to this week's Press Box Podcast. I'm Missouri Net Sports Director Bill Pollack, and joining me, Jonathan Shelby, who is starting to make himself more and more regular on this program. It's nice to see you here again.
I'm becoming a seasoned vet.
Yeah, and you're doing quite well, so I keep bringing you back. You've lasted longer than some of the others that I've brought along, like Brent Martin from our news department.
He's pretty weak.
Yeah, he hasn't contributed a lot lately, so we sent him down to the minors.
Right,
so
yeah, sent him back down to Triple A.
Yeah, so he's working on the news podcast, and we'll get him back up here when the Royals start winning. He's a big Royals fan. All right, so Jonathan, you kind of tipped me off to this first, and I started reading and watching and seeing all of this stuff about the Missouri Tigers moving to the Big Ten. I know you texted me saying, "Hey, people are saying this is a done deal." Am I wrong? As it turns out, this just all blew up from a podcast on ESPN where guys were basically sitting around kind of like what we would and say, hey, what would be the biggest scenario that you could see, the biggest blow up in college sports if they realigned conferences?
Right. Yeah, it was just a ESPN podcast, and that's about all it was. It's just sitting down speculation. Well, if Mizzou went to the Big Ten, what does that mean for the Big 12? You know, I mean, they've talked about massively, you know, expanding that conference, you know, adding several teams. Because at one point, they talked about bringing in UConn and Syracuse, Pittsburgh, I think, and I think they were going to expand it to 16 teams. You know, I don't know what that means for, you know, the Big East or some of those other conferences. But then, you know, at that point, then it was, well, if, you know, Missouri and Nebraska go to the Big Ten, well, Texas and Oklahoma, are they going to shift to the SEC?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation, but people were taking this and running with it.
Right, yeah.
Well, yesterday I called up Chad Moeller. He is the athletic director, the assistant athletic director in terms of media relations. And I asked him, hey, are you hearing these things? What's going on? Is there any legitimacy to this? And here's what he had to say.
No, the same thing we've said from the get-go is that we're proud members of the Big 12 and no one's contacted us. And there's so many rumors out there, Bill. If we spent time addressing specific rumors, we wouldn't be able to get our job done.
All right. So, I mean, it appears that as of now, Missouri's still a part of the Big 12. Nothing is happening. I wonder how much of this stuff is, and I know this particular rumor started off of just guys having a podcast.
Right.
But I wonder how much of this is being generated by the Big Ten themselves, because I'm from Chicago. I grew up following the Big Ten, so you know I kind of cheer for them and pull for them in certain bowl games or NCAA tournament time. But the reality is that when you look at the SEC, the Big 12, maybe even the ACC to a point, I mean the Big Ten is kind of lacking. So for them to be able to pull a program like Nebraska, Notre Dame, even Missouri, that would be huge for them. Even other schools from the Big East. I mean, that would be big for them and put them back in the national, the national map. If you will.
I mean, you know, football wise, they've been down. You know, I mean, Ohio State's gone to a couple national title games, lost the SEC teams.
Right.
Michigan's
right.
Fallen off the map. You know, until some. No, not to say that those, you know, schools can't, you know, get better. I mean, they've got all the money in the world. I mean, they can go out and recruit and do some different things. But, you know, they've been slow to adopt a spread offense. They're still kind of running the same, you know, pound, you know, the football, you know, with the running game and everything like that, which has kind of fallen by the wayside with a lot of other schools and some of the other conferences. And it just hasn't translated well, you know, on the field to W's anymore.
Right. Well,
you know, and I mean, which can be changed, you know, pretty easily. But so they're becoming less relevant. You know, I mean, one of the things that keeps the Big Ten relevant, you know, when it comes to football, honestly, is Penn State and Joe Paterno, because he's still alive, and still coaching. He's just not a mannequin sit in a booth anymore.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
I mean, he can still do that. So I think they've got to garner some interest like that, you know, but they have. I mean, they've kind of fallen back to, you know, the Big 12, to the SEC, you know, and when people talk about the elite schools, you know, football-wise, because I think that it goes back to football mostly, because that's where most of the money is. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, these Big Ten schools. I mean, they're all making 20-some-odd million dollars off of, you know, the TV contracts. Everybody's getting, you know, $20, $22 million, whatever it may be. You know, but that's about the only thing is, I mean, they're just forced, you know, in our faces. You know, we got to watch them. But they're not getting the same type of excitement, you know, nationally, I would say, maybe regionally, but not nationally, that the SEC would get.
Right. Now, I don't know what a school like Missouri could do for that in terms of putting them on the national map, but I think from Missouri's standpoint, setting aside the rivalry with Kansas and all of that, because I still think you could work around that, but I think moving to the Big Ten would be better for them, because I just don't see them in the Big 12 ever getting over the Texas and the Oklahoma hump, and maybe not even Nebraska. And I would actually be fearful if Nebraska came into the Big Ten with Missouri as well. So
right. Well, but the other thing is too, what does that do for recruiting? I mean, Texas is our biggest, state for recruiting.
Yeah, and I think if Missouri went to the Big Ten and had more success and won a Big Ten championship, I think that the reputation that Gary Pinkel has built in Texas, I still think that that would come into play. In fact, even more so, because he's getting kids basically that aren't being picked up by Texas and Oklahoma. So he's already getting those kids, and I think if he wins and has success, that he'll still bring those kids along.
Yeah, it's funny. Winning solves every problem. So as long as you win, it doesn't matter what conference you're in or where you go. You know, I mean, look at Boise State. You know, keep winning games.
Yeah, right. Yeah, about it. If Pinkel could go in and recruit these fast kids from Texas,
mm-hmm.
and he puts a spread offense in the Big Ten against Midwestern big kids, man, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he could really do a lot.
He could clean up. Or they could struggle like they play Nebraska every year.
Until
recent. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, big old rumor about Mizzou going to the Big Ten. They're still in the Big 12. At some point, some things are going to shake up, and how that all does, we'll never know.
But you know the other thing, though? If the Big 12 had a different TV contract, would we even be talking about it?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Seriously. Yeah.
Plus, Texas gets a boatload of money. The University of Texas, I mean, gets a boatload of money in this deal. And I could see Missouri just saying, forget it. So
I would think that eventually you have to just say, look, we're going to renegotate that TV contract.
And I'm actually surprised that Missouri doesn't bargain this a bit and say to the Big 12, you know what, we'd be interested in looking at the Big 10. Because if you could use that as leverage to get a better deal from the mm-hmm. Big 12 conference, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, on the same hand, though, maybe I give Missouri for taking the high road and keeping with their conference and their partnership. Maybe there isn't as much to this as they're leading on to. So,
right.
I mean, we won't know until it all plays out.
But, so it's a done deal.
Yeah. right. Yeah, start that again. All right, let's change gears completely. I came up with my top five pet peeves in sports. So
okay.
I want to bounce them off of you. I have not...
In all of sports, or...
Yeah, just I just thought of this this morning. What are the
top five
things?
Does this include women's field hockey?
No. I think you'll find these pretty interesting. It covers all sports, just things that popped into my head right away that this really gets me.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number five. We'll work up from 5 to 1. Number five is the NFL draft. I'm just not a big fan of all of the hype that is surrounded behind the leading up to it, the mock drafts and the this and the that, and this guy can do this and this guy can do it, because I pulled out, I think it was Peter King's Sports Illustrated, and I think he had the first four or five right, and then after that somebody made a trade, and then all of a sudden, blah, 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 all of the stuff that he was projecting just went down the tubes because Denver started trading this and that and this and that. And it's like, all right, we've spent 2 months since the end of the Super Bowl talking about mock draft. And these guys have no idea what's going to happen the day of the draft.
None.
No. And after, to be quite honest, after the first 30 minutes when they made the first five or six picks, I watched it because I had to, because of the Rams and the Chiefs involved, and I had to do stories for MissouriNet.com. I could care less.
Yeah.
I could have cared less what happened.
You know, the thing about the NFL draft is it is... The two biggest sports in America are the NFL and the NFL draft. I mean, the NFL draft, you know, I mean, they put it in prime time for a reason. Because
And I know what you're saying, because college football, I mean, there is a huge following for college football, and there's more passion, I believe, for college football when you're cheering for your team, your college, the one that you grew up either cheering for, the one that you went to school for. I understand there's a lot of passion, and so you want to see where your guy goes. I get all that. I just think the networks, the NFL Network, ESPN, they jumped onto this and they brought along all these experts, and these guys don't know squat.
Well, really, I mean, you've got a 50-50 shot, you know.
If you're a player. Right,
yeah, if you're a player. All right, because you've got a Tim Couch drafted number one overall. You know, I mean, if you're younger than 16, you have no idea who Tim Couch is. You know, I mean, he was a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns for about 6 months. And then you've got sixth round draft pick Tom Brady.
Yeah, right.
You know, where do you, Drew Brees, second round. You know, I mean, so what does that mean? All right, yeah, you've got Peyton Manning taking number one overall. You know, Eli and Phillip Rivers have both seen success, you know, and they were picked pretty high in the draft. But really, I mean, you don't know. And to take a quarterback, you know, it's like Bradford. I mean, he's going to kind of have the same deal as David Carr did when he first signed on with the Texans when they became that, when they first came into the league, where you're a quarterback with no offensive line. And I don't know, you can't make any good plays sitting on your butt getting hit. So, yeah. I mean, 50-50 shot, nobody knows.
Yeah, so I just think too much hype surrounding the NFL draft. It's always nice to look back and see what guys did two or three years down the road. When you look now, two or three years from now, and you say, boy, was the Sam Bradford pick a good choice or not? That's what interests me when you look back and you analyze that stuff.
Well,
right.
What they need to do, though, too, is they need to just cut off television the first and second round and then just start televising the third, fourth, and fifth, you know, and because that's where all the good picks, third, fourth, fifth round.
Most
yeah,
I know, but
picks.
You don't know who those guys are. Nobody knows who those guys are, really. I mean, unless they went to your school you're cheering for, you really don't know.
Well, you just said it's all about college football fans.
Yeah, I know, but once you see your guy picked, then that's it. You're done with. I mean, that's what I mean.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of passion for college football,
right?
And you want to see your guys do well. And I was very excited when Sean Weatherspoon got picked 19th.
Yeah.
But by then, I mean, I had to go back and check because I had already tuned out. I emotionally attuned out to, all right, the Rams got Bradford, the Chiefs got, I can't even think of his name now. I'm drawing a blank.
Eric Berry.
Yeah, Eric Berry. So, all right, that's it. That's fine. Hey, Spoon got picked. All right, that's great. And then that's it. Then the rest of the...
Then you're done.
Yeah, then I'm done. And nobody knows who third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, they don't know who those guys are.
Killer ratings, though. Killer. I mean, they beat the NFL draft. The NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs went head-to-head with the NFL draft. NFL draft won.
Yeah, I know. But that's just people that tuned in for... I just looked at the Nielsen rate. This is for people that tuned in for 1 minute or 6 minutes. So, all right. Anyway, which leads into my next pet peeve at number four, all of the downtime in between games in playoff series. Now, hockey's all right. Hockey goes, you play a game, you take a day off, you play a game. And I understand there's some downtime in between the different series. You have to wait until everybody finishes their first round to get to the second round. I understand that. But basketball, and I know it's all TV, but I just do not like playing a game on a Tuesday and then game two is Sunday. That to me is just ridiculous.
When did that happen?
Oh, it happens all the time.
When?
When they schedule playoff series?
Yeah, well, I mean, you might have 2 days off, but...
Oh, no.
Because LA and Oklahoma City are playing tonight, and
they're still playing their series. When did they start that series? It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's way too long.
Here's the other thing I don't like, is in baseball, you play 162 games. It is built on 25 guys. It's actually built on your 40-man roster. You get injuries, you have to bring guys up. You're playing basically every single day. You win your division, you make the playoffs on a five-man rotation, on a deep bullpen, on a strong bench. When you play one game, take a day off, play your second game, take another 2 days off to travel. When you're playing three games in 5 days, if you have two good pitchers, you can cruise through the playoffs like the Arizona Diamondbacks did with Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. I would have liked to have seen them play seven games in 7 days and see if they had the depth to win the World Series. That's the thing that aggravates me. The playoffs are so much different in baseball than the regular season that you don't get a true feeling of a full team. And I think that's where team sports comes in the most is in baseball. And you have to be able to utilize those 25 guys to the best of your ability. But when you get to the playoffs, it's just if you've got the best 15, you're in good shape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just the layout. Look, baseball, the game starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, you know?
Right.
The baseball playoffs are all screwed up.
All right, so here's my third pet peeve, okay? Pitch counts and or pulling pitchers out of a game when they have a shutout going. All right, and the example that I bring to this, I mean, I am so passionate about baseball, but it is a long season, 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to a game and you invest your money as a fan to go to the game, or you invest your time to sit down in front of the television, and you see Adam Wainwright pitching against the Astros, and he's cruising along through seven innings, and he has a 5-0 lead, and nobody's gotten past second base, and they pull him out of the game, I pull my hair. This is one of the moments as a fan that you want to watch. You want to see a guy go for the shutout. 5-1, he's given up a run. All right, great, I get it. He's thrown 130 pitches. Okay, I get it. But when you're at 92 pitches and you've got a shutout going, you know that pitcher wants to finish that game. That's what the fans are there for. Because that, then Tony La Russa, and I'm bringing this up, this was the first home game of the year when I was there.
Right.
And he pulled him out. He says, you know what, I'm saving him for his innings, for down the road. Okay, I get all that. A week later, they play a 20-inning game. They use their entire bullpen. He's got position players pitching.
Right.
The next game, Sunday night, they come out against the Mets. Wainwright pitches a complete game. Why? Because he didn't have any arms. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. But the other thing, you know, the other side of that coin would be, all right, you know, it's 5-0. He's shutting everybody out. Nobody's got past second base. And La Russa leaves him in there, and then he tears his arm.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you know,
that's the risk
so then what do you do? Oh, La Russa, you're an idiot for leaving him in. You know, I mean, you're going to have all those cries of that.
Yeah, I know.
So, I know, I mean, it's a no-win situation.
I know, but still, you go there, you want to see a guy get a shutout.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I think...
As a fan.
Yeah, well, there was problems with basketball, too.
What about Cy Young? He had 526 complete games. He never tore his arm out.
Yeah, but that was Cy Young. There's a reason he's got an award named after him.
All right,
when Wainwright has an award named after him, you know, maybe we can have the same conversation.
That's true. All right, here we go. My last two, and I think these are good. I really like these. All right, one is when fans who give the score the wrong way. Okay? For example, I come up to you. All right? Mm-hmm. You will play the part of dorky parent.
Okay.
Okay. I come up to you, and I say, hey, Jonathan, what's the score of the Cardinals game? And you say, we're down, meaning the Cardinals, we're down 3-5. No. No. You're not down 3-5. You're down 5-3.
Right.
You're either up 5-3 or you're down 5-3. This baseball, football, basketball, hockey, it's not tennis. It's not volleyball. Nobody's serving. You don't have to give the server score first. You do that in tennis. All right, you do that in volleyball. When you're getting ready to serve it over in your co-ed rec league. All right, 4-5, we're serving.
Yeah.
You're not losing 3-5. I cannot stand
it. You're losing 5-3.
Yes, I cannot stand it. What's the score? Hey, are we up? Nah, 5-3. You can tell from the person's reaction.
Yeah.
If you're winning or losing. What's the score? 5-3. All right, we're losing.
Right.
What's the score? 5-3.
Well,
all right, hey, we're up.
The winner, the person who's ahead or the winner score always goes first. It's never, you know, oh, when you read the box score on any game, you know, oh my gosh, you know, they lost 64-65, you know, or anything like that. It's always the winner score and then the loser score.
Yeah, I lose so much respect, especially for a man, especially for one of my male friends. When I think, hey, you know, I'm starting to pal up with this guy. I think I like this guy.
Oh well, Bill, we're losing 3-5.
Yeah,
glad you could make it.
Yeah, I just, you know what, I'm just gonna, you know, here I am writing you off as a friend. You're off my friend list. You don't have it. All right, last one. This one gets me too. When dads or little league coaches
get angry.
No, when they point home plate in the wrong direction.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You know the little point goes towards the catcher.
Right.
Okay. Because that actually is the extension of the foul line, where the point is, where
the angles veer off.
That's the start of the foul line. I cannot stand when coaches. I'm going to coach kids little league this year, and he goes out there and he gets the whole field set up, and he points the point of home plate toward the pitcher.
Gives the pitcher a straight line for the catcher.
Yeah.
So I mean, really, it could be an advantage.
Yeah,
yeah. He's also getting pine tar on those bats
and
something.
Because it's home. It looks like if I stand behind it, it looks like the shape of a home. So that's why you put the plate like that right now.
Yeah.
Or if they call this is like 1B when they call home plate home base.
I hate that. That is awful.
So what do you think? Are those pretty good pet peeves?
Those are pretty good.
Yeah, I told
They're
you the last
bad.
Two would be pretty good.
I mean, heavy baseball, but you're a big baseball guy.
I know. Like I told you, they just popped off the top of my head. So.
This is all you have to think about.
It's been a slow work week. If it wasn't for the Mizzou going to the Big Ten rumor, I would have had
nothing. Rumor? Done deal.
Yeah, don't start. Don't start that baloney with me. Thanks a lot for listening. This is MissouriNet.com.